great participation. Thank you so very much. We're delighted to welcome all of you here. We're very thankful to have a great group that is assembled to lift our voices as we've been able to do with Judd leading us in such a good way. Thank you for your participation in honoring and glorifying God. How do you feel about yourself? That's a question that we all have to think about from time to time. We make a lot of mistakes. We do a lot of dumb things, and yet we do some good things. We make some good choices, and we recognize that the direction of those choices or mistakes that we make have a lot to do with how we feel about ourselves. Tonight, as we think about that, I do want you to think about just general self-esteem, but I'm more concerned about our spiritual self-esteem. How do we feel about ourselves? And how is it that if we don't feel so good as we look at life, how do we go about feeling good about ourselves? Well, if you take a look at research, and there's been a lot of research done in the last 30 years about self-esteem, and we developed a system of helping our young people develop self-esteem by teaching them that they were as good as anybody else. And in one sense, that's true. God is no respecter of persons. There is no male or female. There is no bond or free. There is no Jew nor Greek. In Christ, we are all one. And in some really important ways, no one is better than the other. But there are some very important things that we need to think about with regard to our relationship to God in heaven. And it seems to me that we have done a very poor job, in a way, of helping people develop self-esteem without any substance to it. We help them feel good about themselves when they don't want to get up and do what is necessary to succeed in life. And so we permit our children to fail, all the while we're patting them on the back and we're telling them, listen, you're as good as anybody else. You deserve what everybody else deserves. You should pass to the next grade, whether you study or not. You should be given anything that anybody else gets because you're as good as they are. It's my personal judgment, after a lot of study with regard to self-esteem, that we've done a poor job in America of helping our young people develop self-esteem. I used to hear all the time that bullies are bullies because they have low self-esteem. That's not always true. It might be true in some, but that's not always true. There are some bullies who think they deserve to get everything they want, and if they don't get it, they're going to punch somebody in the face, or they're going to be ugly. They're going to treat someone in a negative way because they are as good as anybody else, and they deserve whatever anybody else gets, regardless of their behavior or regardless of their character. So when I raise the question, are we treating our young people fairly by trying too hard to make them feel good about themselves? I don't mean that we can try too hard to make them feel good about themselves, except in the fact that there needs to be some substance. There needs to be some reason for the good feeling that we have about ourselves. A number of studies raise those questions about how we ought to regard that. But I'm concerned tonight. I want you to be concerned, those of us that have children and we're responsible for children. I want us to be thinking about how we deal with our children and how we help them with their self-esteem. But tonight, I want to especially consider the spiritual well-being of other people. The Bible has a lot to say about that. First of all, if you take a look in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and there were some people in Corinth that were saying, I'm as good as you. I'm as good as you. And they were doing so spiritually. And they would look down their nose at anyone who did not feel that they were as good as anyone else. If you've read the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to know the church had all kinds of problems. There was a lot of division. There was immorality in that church that Paul says would not even be named among the Gentiles. They were taking each other to law. There were just so many problems. And all of those people involved in those problems, perhaps at least many of them, I said all, and I should say many of them, it seems, had this propensity to think of themselves as good as anybody who didn't do those things that God would be disappointed in because they are sinful. I'm as good as you. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, as he's writing back to the church in Corinth again, he is telling them that you need to be thoughtful. How dare we class ourselves as those who compare themselves with other people? I remember on one occasion, a family was having trouble with a teenage son, and they invited me to come. This teenage son had taken their credit card. He'd spent a lot of money on clothes. He bought a suitcase. He packed up the suitcase full of those new clothes. He took a girl with him and flew to another state. When he got back home, after it was a few days before they had any idea where they found him. And the way they found him was following the charges on the credit card. And they began to talk to me about coming and visiting with them. And when I was talking to them, and I was trying to help the parents see how they were involved in helping their son feel the way that they were, this mama looked at me and said, "I've known you since you were a young boy. You weren't such a good boy as a teenager." And so she turns back on me. What she's really saying is, listen, I know you, and I know you weren't perfect, and I know you made some mistakes as a teenager, and my son's a teenager, and you're not any better than my son. How dare you tell us what we're doing? You see, we do a pretty poor job sometimes. I told the lady, if you want to talk about my character and my behavior, there's a lot to talk about. But you invited me to talk about your son and your relationship with him. And so there are people who compare themselves with other people. And if we aren't careful, we'll be saying, I'm as good as you, when really we're not in some ways as good as you. Everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God, right? I'm as good as you. Even though I've got some problems in my life, everybody makes mistakes, right? What we're saying is, I'm as good as you. We're comparing ourselves with the wrong person, and no one should be feeling good about themselves if they're comparing themselves with me. You should never feel good when you compare yourself with another human being. You need to feel good when you begin comparing yourself with the Christ, and your life measures to some degree with God's help in a positive way in that regard. The Gentiles in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, even though they knew God, these people were not thankful. They did not acknowledge God as God. They were people who turned away from God, even though they knew God. If you're a person in this room who has turned away from God, even though you know God, you know His will, and you're living in some other way, you should not feel good about your spiritual person. There's no reason to, God is telling us. Because you see, these people knew God and they had no degree of thankfulness toward God for anything, and they were wanting to go after other gods. In Exodus 32, God was on the mountain, if you will, with Moses in a very special way. We want to say that God is everywhere, and we believe that, and God is everywhere. But God was with Moses on the Mount Sinai in a very special way. He didn't come down for 40 days, and these people started saying, "Where is this man, Moses?" And they were not sure he was going to come back. And so they convinced Aaron, when they donated their gold earrings, they put their gold together, and Aaron fashioned for them a golden calf. And they began to lift up that golden calf and say, "This, O Israel, is the God that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Here were people who would choose other gods. In the university program on Sunday mornings, we're going to be taking a look at gods that we, all of us, not just college students, but all of us lift up above the God of heaven by the way that we live. When we start thinking about what we spend money on and what we spend our time on, we lift other things up above the God of heaven, and we make gods out of them. And so we're going to take a look at that in the university class, but we all ought to be taking a look at that because it is not what God can take. In Jeremiah 16, in verses 14 and 15, these people of God are being spoken about. The people of Israel were being spoken about, and they had begun to do such horrible things, and yet they were not ashamed. they would do things that were sinful. They knew they were sinful. They would practice those things that God would hate, and they could not blush. They had gotten to the point to where it didn't embarrass them any longer to be caught involved in sin against God. And so when we start thinking about people who commit abominations, you see, that will be me. If I know that I am violating God's will and I continue to do so in the face of God, knowing every thought I have, every action that I have, those abominations ought to make me so ashamed and ought to make me blush. But you see, in our world, there are people who, like the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, who was committing sexual immorality in a way that we mentioned a moment ago, that even the Gentiles would not have seen among them. And Paul said, not only are you practicing such things, you're permitting it to be practiced in the congregation, and you are puffed up about it. You're bragging about that kind of immorality. They were not ashamed that they had a man in their midst who had his father's wife. They were treating him just like he was as good as anyone else, and apparently he was acting as though, I'm as good as you. And so those are people that cannot be what God wants them to be, and their self-esteem is somewhat inflated. In Luke 18, we read the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Here is a person who sees only the good in himself, and he sees this publican, and he said, God, I am thankful that I am not like this publican. And he starts mentioning sins. And then he says, I am thankful that I, and he starts listing the good things that he does. Do you suppose he had any sin in his life? Do you suppose the publican ever did anything good? You see, there are people living in Henderson, Tennessee today who are just like this guy, who look at other people and they see absolutely nothing good in those people. And they look in the mirror and they are ready to say, what a good boy am I. They see only the good in themselves, and their self-esteem spiritually is inflated. If you look in Revelation 3, you're going to read several great letters, but among them is the letter to the church in Laodicea. And in that letter, the Spirit said to the church in Laodicea, you think you are rich and you have need of nothing, but let me tell you, the reality is your self-esteem is quite inflated, because the reality is you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind. What an unbelievable misrepresentation within their own congregation of who they were. Their spiritual self-esteem as a church was not what it ought to be. How is it that we can develop appropriate self-esteem? Well, here are some ways that I believe the Bible suggests that if we behave, we're going to build ourselves up in an appropriate way. We can look at other people. There are people that will brag about your children, and they will say, wow, I saw your child, and they were so thoughtful, they were so courteous, they were so respectful, and you just start grinning from ear to ear, don't you? And you see, you can then tell your child, this is what other people see in you. On the other hand, when someone comes and tells you about misbehavior, you can't do that. And so when your child is doing good and being good and other people notice it, it makes a big difference in your feeling and in the feeling of your children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, we are encouraged to discipline our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Meaning, it's wrong to do anything else. It's the right thing to do to obey your parents. Do you always agree with your parents? No, you don't. And your parents may not always make even the best judgment. But if it's a judgment, obey your parents. It is the right thing to do, and you can always feel good about obeying your parents, because it is what God would have you to do. If you are a young person living in the home with parents who have the oversight for you, you listen to them, you obey them, and you can feel very good about your relationship with them and your relationship with God, because it is the right thing to do. Those of us who are parents, this is specifically the fathers in verse 4, But fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, the discipline that they need is to be there, and fathers need to take a great role. And so those of us who have fatherly responsibilities, we need to take that seriously, because we then can feel good about our relationship with ourselves, we can feel good about our relationship with our children, and we can feel good about our relationship with God. We can become so harsh, we can become so ugly, we can become so demanding that we provoke a wrathful feeling, a feeling of anger and resentment that rises up in our children. Sometimes parents do everything they can and in the right way, and that feeling of resentment rises up anyway. But the rule is, the general rule is, if we treat them in an appropriate way with proper discipline, not provoking them toward a wrathful attitude and behavior, we're going to be able to feel good. Our children are going to feel good about us. Fathers who do that can really feel good about the relationship with the children, relationship with themselves, and their relationship with God. When you think about those parents bringing those children up in the right way, how important is it? And as we think about appropriate self-esteem and the development of it, I would encourage you to think about people who develop the state of mind opposite the I'm as good as you. We don't need that. We just don't need that. Might you make a case for being as good as someone else? You might. But when you begin to compare yourselves with other people, you're setting yourself up for failure, and you are developing an unhealthy spiritual self-esteem. Compare yourself with the message of God. You look into that perfect law of liberty James 1 talks about, and you see what manner of person you are, and do not go away and forget that. And if you take a good look at what is happening in that perfect law of liberty, you're going to see you have several needs. Every person in this room is going to come up with several needs, and we need to be working at meeting those needs to make ourselves better and to be more like God. It amazes me that God tells us that the way to lift ourselves up is to lower the concept of ourselves in the spiritual sense. We're not talking about thinking of yourselves as worthless and no good. Every person in this room is worth enough to God that He sent His Son into the world to die for you. Jesus Christ took every step that He took for you and for me. What an amazing message we have in the gospel. What great news we have that even though we are not who we need to be, God can make us who we need to be, and that's what He wants to do. But in order to do that, we have to be poor in spirit, as we studied a few weeks ago. We have to understand that without God, we are nothing. When we read those very familiar passages in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and not being conformed to the world, but renewing our minds so that we may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And then verse 3 says, the challenge comes, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. You see, God understands us, and we have an idea sometimes that when we do something good, all of a sudden we're good. We'll do something good, and it makes up for any bad that we've ever done, and we just want to forget about the bad and only get people to think about the good. When we start looking at ourselves and we begin to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, He will lift you up, James 4 and verse 10 says. And then when you look at Philippians 2, this great chapter, verse 5, we read and we know, we quote so many times about have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You go back to these verses that precede that, those first four verses, and you'll hear Paul telling us the mind of Christ. And he's telling people to esteem others as better than yourself. Boy, that's hard work for me. I don't know about you, but that's hard work for me. To look at some folks and to think they are better than I am is very hard. But that's the mind Jesus had when he came into the world. He thought of himself as lowly enough to die for the most sinful, horrible, filthy, souled person you and I could ever know. We need humility. If you want appropriate self-esteem, you begin to develop greater humility in your life regardless of that love. And then challenge yourself to love more. And remember, loving means doing, not feeling. Loving is about doing. It's how we treat people. It's how we respond. We may develop a feeling towards someone, but our love is not based on how we feel. It's based on what we do as we read God in his message. And so, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourselves, as Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39 teach us. And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 challenges us in a way that our culture needs challenging unthinkably. Be content. I can tell you that right over here in this youth group, there are some folks who have a phone they would like to chunk out the window, and they'd like to have a better phone. There are folks out here that are older that would like to chunk that old car and get a better one, and you're going to get one no matter what you have to give up to get it. There are people in this room who are not content where they are, where they ought to be content. Doesn't mean you can't improve. It doesn't mean you can't make better grades, have higher goals. That's not what God is talking about. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. He was in prison. He was content. He was on top of the world. In other ways, he was being content. We need contentment. And then we need gratitude. We need to be thankful people. We've come to be a generation of people who demand. If my food isn't exactly the way I want it at a restaurant, I'm paying for that, and I become demanding, and sometimes I become ugly. If I don't get what I want and how I want and when I want and I deserve it, I can become very ugly. It's hard for us to be grateful. God gives us so much, and we are blessed in such great ways, and we become so demanding of so many people all around us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, James 1 and verse 17 says. We need to be thoughtful people for what we have. And then it is so easy for me to want praise, admiration, but hard for me to give it sometimes. It's hard for me to express appreciation when I think I ought to have an honor and somebody else gets it. If I think I should have been praised and someone else is praised, if I think I should have gotten a job or a position and someone else gets it, boy, it's hard for me to be thankful. But God is wanting us to express gratitude in our lives and gratitude toward him as we think about God tonight. How is your self-esteem? Are you feeling good about yourself? You see, you can turn that around with God. If you're not a child of God, you can look at your sins and you can say, I want to do something about them. And God says, repent of them. Stop living that kind of lifestyle. Repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ before men and be buried with him in baptism. If you're a child of God and your life is not right and you don't feel good about that, you can turn that around now. You can turn that around now by humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. And he will lift you up. Come if you need as we stand.